Good morning. I know the breakfast will be coming later, but we can be enthusiastic. All right. So, what are the last 2 weeks' topics? Anybody remembers? Fear. Only fear. Fear of God. Reverence. Excellent. Fear of the God in church. Fear of the God in general. Like, you know, you fear God. So, today, we are going to do something little different from the fear of God. That is because we were supposed to have a guest speaker as announced, no? But the guest speaker couldn't make it due to some personal circumstances. So, here I am. I am your guest speaker. Okay? Yes. So, today we are going to look a little bit upon how do we become spiritually healthy. All right. So I know that everybody may feel, oh, spiritually healthy means, oh, I need to do more of meditation, more of reflection, more of this, more of that. Suddenly, you know, we suddenly connect to our spiritual being and we want to do all that. But what exactly is spiritual health, or what is it in comparison to our physical health? So as we know that we are spiritual beings, we are also physical beings, right? And God connects to us in spirit, like how in the morning we said, the spirit and in truth, right? God connects to us, and we, the people of God, worship God in spirit and truth. Not that the flesh is not important. Yes, we need our bodies, but generally we connect to our spiritual, to God through our spiritual being. So let's know more about it. Let's explore more about it, okay? And we'll do that firstly by praying, okay? So let's all pray and ask God to help us, give us a revelation on this. Lord, we want to thank you for today, and thank you, Lord, that today you really want to speak to all of us, and you want to share your heart, O Lord, on how we can connect to you, O Lord God, and how we can worship you in spirit and in truth, O Lord God. And Lord, draw more closer to you, O Lord God, in our spiritual being, O Lord God. Thank you, dear God. We bless this time, and we pray that all of us will be blessed and we'll go back nourished with your spiritual food, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, yes, so we'll continue. So, when we say spiritual, actually it all starts, okay, in the beginning, when man was created by God, okay, when man, Adam and Eve were created by God, God was able to communicate with them, God was able to walk with them, talk with them, just like a friend, he was able to, like, you know, a father, a friend, or whomever you can connect to, so he was like that to them. And as we know, in the Bible it says that, you know, man disobeyed. And there was a disconnect between man and God, right? There was a disconnect. And that disconnect is our spirit. So when the serpent said that, you know, you eat of this fruit, you will not die. Okay, it is just like that. But when God said, if you eat of this fruit, you will die. Basically what God meant was there will be a disconnect between you and me. You will eventually die the physical death, okay? And eventually you will have an eternal judgment, an eternal death, okay? That is because you have disobeyed. You have allowed sin to enter into your, you know, your humanity. So that is what happened. So let's read a dysfunctional spirit. Does anybody want to volunteer to read this? You can come forward and read if you can't see. Come on, volunteer.
And the mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for good food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:5-9.
Yes. So this is the beginning. You can see how beautiful it is. Everything was so calm, peaceful. God was talking. This was happening. That was happening. Food was provided. You didn't have to go to office. You didn't have to work 9 to 5. Everything was given by God. You just had to go water the garden, see to it. Everything is fine. Okay. Animals are fed. Everything. That's all. Okay, no rushing in the train, nothing. All right? But then what happened?
Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
What did God say? The day you will eat of it, you will surely die. Okay, so that means God is saying that don't do this. Okay, see, I have given you. So there is a warning. Along with a blessing, there is a warning. Now what does man do?
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Right. So can you see, in the beginning there was all calm, peaceful, everything. Then now there is a chaos. Right? Blaming, this thing, that thing. And do you think the Spirit of God is working here in Adam? Can you see anywhere he's saying, like, you can feel that this, maybe he's talking through the Spirit of God? Do you feel through his conversations? What do you think? With what? How is he speaking? Flesh. Very good. So he is not talking with the spirit that God gave him, but he is actually talking with his own spirit, the human spirit. He's saying she did this, and then the woman is saying he did this, and you know, Eve. So they're all, you know, basically quarreling, conflict, and there is a chaos, right? So wherever there is a chaos, there is no order. Do you think the Spirit of God dwells there? No. So that means what went away, what went dysfunctional? The spirit, okay, the spiritual being who Adam was, it became dysfunctional. He was not able to think in the likeness of what God wanted him to think. He was only supposed to be in the garden, take care of it and do what was told to him. But he was not able to manage his own, you know, way of living. His wife gave him something to eat. He ate it and then he was, all of them were, and it till date runs in our veins. Like, you know, we still blame each other, we conflict. So if we are doing this, that means what do you think? Do we operate in human wisdom and spirit, or do we operate in godly spirit and wisdom when we conflict and all? What do you think? Human spirit, right? So when we are operating in a human or fleshly way of living, then we need to renew ourselves and say, "Lord, I don't want to do this. I am a spiritual being. You have created me to converse with you, communicate with you, live a life of spiritual health. And here I am doing all this, what my ancestors did, what Adam and Eve did." Right? So then, so many times we may hear our own voices. We may make decisions with our own human tendencies. We may do things, maybe the enemy. Okay, just like the serpent came here. The enemy also comes in different forms and ways and tells us, "Array, I think you should not listen to that person. I think you should do this your own way. You are more intelligent than this God. Or why are you saying, don't you see things practically happening?" So the enemy, the devil, comes to steal, kill and to destroy. Right? It comes to steal, kill and destroy our peace, our, you know, our mind. You know, there is so much of conflict. There's so much of disharmony. Right? Whenever the enemy. So either we can take decisions and protocols are followed, maybe because of humanly flesh and blood, or it could be the devil. Right? Now, how do we revive our spiritual being? Or how do we come to that place? So again, God made a way, right? God made a way and he said, you don't have to strive so much. So Jesus was on a mission to revive our spiritual being. Can you tell your neighbor, Jesus is on a mission? Yes. So Jesus is on a mission to revive the spiritual being. He's saying you don't have to strive so much. I am there to help you to work. How do we know this? There is a story in the Bible. Okay, I think Sharon can again read.
So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearing as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you know the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself and did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or to have to come here to draw water.
Okay, very good. So here we can see there is a difference. In the Garden of Eden, what did God say? You can eat of anything you want, but you shall not eat of this one thing, right? Here it is something else. It is the opposite of what he said. He said, come and drink of me. Means he's now inviting. Initially he said, don't eat of this. I will give you eternal life. Here, so there he said, don't do it. Here he's saying, come. And do it. You drink of this living water. So we can see that Jesus came to restore the relationship of mankind. Right? Initially he said, okay, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But here he's saying, because he knows if he tells man, don't do this, he will immediately do that. Right? So here he's saying that, come and drink of this. So she's curious to know, what is this living water? Where I can get from? How can I have eternal life? So the curiosity increases to know what I can do and where I can get from. So Jesus is really on a mission to restore our spiritual being, to give us this living water and to help us to draw more closer to God. All right? So we will... Okay. Read from John 4, 5 to 26. Okay. You can read this.
But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, "Hi, I who speak to you am he."
Yes. So now there was a gist, like, you know, Jesus introduced himself to this woman and said, come and have this living water and you will be, you know. So he said that, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Can all of us say spirit and truth? Spirit. Yes. So God wants us to come back to him in spirit and in truth. Okay, in whatever form we are. Wherever we may be today, in whatever phase of life, maybe we are really, really, really in a very miserable position. Maybe we have sinned so much, we feel that how can even Jesus look at me? But if you see the previous verses, you see that, you know, Jesus addressed this woman's hurts and pains and the sin that she had done. He said that, call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Then he says that, I know that you don't have a husband because you've already had five husbands. So he literally addressed the issue which she wanted to overlook. But he also then says and challenges her, come, worship. God. And you know, the true worshippers worship in spirit and truth. It doesn't matter where you are, what you are, but now you need to change your style of living. You cannot live like that anymore. You come and drink of this water, which will give you life, which will give you the freedom, which will take you away from all shame, guilt, and you know, all that you are going through. So then she said, he said, who is, she says, who is this? So Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Means she already knew there is a Messiah who is coming. And she was also waiting desperately to meet this Messiah, because she was living in so much of, you know, maybe she wanted to get rid of all that she was going through. So many times we may feel that, okay, I'm so spiritually dry. I don't know what to do. Where can I get this water? Whom can I go to? So Jesus says, come to me. I am the living water. And then we can also read that, you know, even Nicodemus. So maybe we are in the position of that woman, but probably we are not in that position of woman, because we have been in the Lord for years together now. Okay, we have been known God, we have prayed, and initial days it was so exciting, and we used to tell everybody, I prayed and God answered this prayer and this and that. But over the period of time, probably we have become like Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, where Jesus also says, you already know all these things. Okay, in the woman's case, he said, she doesn't know. But here he says, you already know of this. You need to be born again to know more about this. You know, to get in contact with the Spirit, you need to be born again. Now, what is this being born again means? Okay, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Can we say Spirit? Yes. Unless someone is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. All right, and which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we need to be born of the Spirit. Okay, so can we tell our neighbor, I'm born of the Spirit? Yeah, so whether you are not born of the Spirit or you want to know more about it, you can get in touch with us more. But what do you mean by born of the Spirit is, Jesus says that we need to get in touch with God again. We need to get in touch with His, the spiritual being again. Okay, and it goes on to say is that, you know, Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel and yet do not understand these things? So basically he's addressing that years together you have been in the church. Years together you have been teaching other people and you don't know this much also. That means you have never connected to God. You have never connected in spirit with God. So many times we may be born in a Christian family, or many times we may be, you know, being acquainted with, you know, Christianity or Jesus. Or we know about Jesus. We believe. But we may not be born again to connect with Him in spirit. So we need to question ourselves. So this study, we actually took it on Friday also. The same verse was done on Friday for our cell meet. And we discussed on how we can be born again. How we can live in spirit and in truth. So it also says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. If I told you of earthly things, you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So we will be born again only if we believe in Jesus Christ and we receive him and say that, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to have this connection with you in spirit. Now you must be wondering, okay, so much of jargon she's giving. what is she hinting at, right? What is she trying to say? How can I be spiritually healthy? I have been born again. I am doing so much things for the church. I'm serving. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. There is some questionnaire that you can look at. Okay, am I increasing in my love for God? Okay, every day it needs to increase. Am I increasing in my hatred of sin? So when I see something wrong happening, what does my heart say? Just ignore and walk away. Or should I address this and say, no, no, this cannot happen, right? Am I increasing in holy living? Am I increasing in my love for others? So do I consider others first? All right. So this is how we measure our spiritual record. So in health, in physical health, we say, oh, my parameters, my blood pressure is okay, my cholesterol is okay, my this thing is okay. Right? In same way, we have to check our spiritual parameters, where we have to say that, okay, Lord, I want to bear a testimony for you. I want to do this for you. I want to receive this Jesus for in my life. Am I increasing in the fruits of the Spirit? Am I increasing in generosity to God and others? Am I increasing in forgiveness? And finally, am I increasing in fasting and praying? Okay, so we are going to look at this one aspect of the spiritual, the one parameter, one of them, okay, that is fasting and praying. Now, if I need to grow more spiritually, I am born again. Now what next? I go to church. Now what next? I read the Bible. Now what next? Now what next is, do I pray? What do you think is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Talking to God, conversation with God. Okay, so you sit by yourself and you pray and you communicate with God. Prayer happens. So prayer happens in the morning or evening? Any time of the day? Anytime? Are you sure? Even now we can pray? Yes. Okay, good. There are people who are saying, okay, only in the morning or only in the evening. It's like telling your, loved ones, okay, I'll talk to you only in the morning. After that, I'm not going to talk to you. Okay, it's like that. Okay, prayer is, you do it like, but you can do it every time, every day. But there has to be an intentional time of prayer. That is what I'm talking about. So I can talk to my spouse anytime. I can say, okay, give me water. Go and get that thing or do this. I'm communicating, right? But when is that intentional time of communication happening? I can say that, okay, let's, get some time together to talk. So here when we talk, we don't talk about what I want, or what bills to pay, or what. We don't talk about that, right? We talk about things which deepen our relationship. We talk about things which helps us to grow together with each other. So similarly with God. When we talk, we say, God, please, meko ye bus mil jana chahiye. Or I say, God, please, I want this, I want that. Let the boss not scold me today. I'll do the project tomorrow. So that is okay. That is all prayer. But when I intentionally sit with God, like a half an hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I need to talk with regards to our relationship. How I grow deeper into it. The spiritual health of my life will be counted on that. So that is what prayer we are talking about. Secondly, fasting. What do you think is fasting? Anybody has experienced fasting? All of us? Yes. So what do you think is fasting? Okay, worldly things, okay. Kind of repentance. Yeah. Repentance, na? Okay. Excellent, okay. I was waiting for this only because many times we abstain from food. That could be my intermittent fasting, right? So I can do an intermittent fasting and I can say, okay, nice, I'm dieting and all. But fasting in real sense for God is when I am actually spending that time which I'm spending for eating, I spend in reading the word or I'm praying and I am communicating with God. So that is what is, intention of the fasting. And having the desire. So we pray and we fast. Okay. Yes. So Isaiah 38:5-8. Shannon, you can read.
Prayer and fasting. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down.
Any familiarity of this verse? Who said that? Who said that it's a promise verse? Ashwin. He'll get a reward. Yes, so it is a promise word for this year for our church, right? So what does it say? It says prayer. Okay, it says I have heard your prayer. So today, this month is what? April end. So we are preaching about prayer in the month of April. But the promise we've got is in the month of January. That means God is reiterating it. Hello, Renewed Hope Community. Prayer, okay, fasting, okay, and he's saying that I will add, means you pray, I will give you, you pray, I will do this. My only job is to pray. Just like Adam and Eve were given a job, a task, you do this, that's it, okay, and I will communicate, I will come and meet you. But we do it otherwise, right? We do not, we say, arey, time nahi hai, quickly I'll pray and I'll go. But God says, like, intentionally sit with me. You seek my face. Do this and I will answer you. Whatever I have promised, I will keep it to you. So why should we fast and pray? Or what is the importance of prayer? Anyone? Okay, this is okay. He keeps the promise. Anything else that why should we fast and pray? Where do we do it? Excellent, to hear from God. To get more closer to God, excellent. Yeah, the spiritual health. Building our relationship, good God, very good. That means you all are very selfless people. You are not fasting and praying for anything other than growing closer and spiritual. Right, very good. Generally, we fast and pray if we want an urgent answer. Say somebody's sick or something, we are fasting and praying. We say, Lord, please heal this person. Urgently, renew, like, you know, we pray. Then what happens? To see the impossible, means suppose, God forbid, somebody is suffering with cancer or tumor, which is not curable. We literally cry out to God and say, God, please, please heal. So we fast and pray for that. We, as everybody said, to build our next level of faith, to grow in relationship with God. To make godly decisions. Now we have to make a decision. So generally we take decisions with our humanly spirit. No, as we said, it is dysfunctional. So to make our spirit functional is to pray and fast and say, Lord, I'm totally dependent on your decisions. You make the decision for me. You tell me. So to hear from God, as rightly said, to place a hedge of protection over our family members, over our neighbors, our society, anywhere. So when we pray, all these things happen, right? Now, yes. What do you think is the hindrance or barriers to prayer? This is a barrier to hearing me. Okay. What is the barrier to pray? What do you think? Why we are not able to pray at times? We are preoccupied. So much work is there. So family issues are there. Right. Very good. Busy. Yes. Very busy. Laziness. Time hai, but thoda sa, you know, we just, yeah. Not understanding the importance of prayer. Prayer hi to hai na. What is there? I'll just say the Lord's Prayer and finish it up. Or I'll say Psalm 23 and finish it up. Okay. Undealt sin. That's why I fear to pray. Because God may tell you, correct this sin and I will be nowhere. Very good. Anything else? Worldly pleasure. Huh? I will have more time to do other things, but I will not have this prayer time. Very good. Anything else? Not prioritizing. Very good. So it's not in my first important list. It is like, theek hai, time hua toh I will pray. Kind of. Okay, good. So yeah, there are a lot of hindrances. So some of them I have also named led by human spirit. Okay, so this is a hindrance. Like many times, it is my human spirit who kind of, you know, does not allow me to pray. I will only pray like, you know, only if, I feel like it. Or if I, you know, that way. Busyness, self-sufficiency. Okay, so we have seen in many of the scripture portions that the enemy also doesn't allow us to pray. The moment you sit to pray, the moment you start reading the Bible, you feel yawning, sleeping. Some work you will remember very important which you have forgotten for years together. Okay, suddenly you will have to go to the bank, suddenly you will have to do something. And then you say, no, that is more important. Okay. Calls you will get, right? And that time only children will fight or they will go, some accident will happen, something and all will happen. So the enemy also doesn't allow us to pray. Okay. But how do we overcome this? And we say, okay, Lord, I am going to, you know, keep this specific time and I am going to pray. So it says in Matthew 6:16-18, that, so many times, like Jesus, when he was fasting and praying, what happened? The devil came, okay, and he tried to tempt Jesus. So similarly, we are all facing that same situation. But did it stop Jesus from praying or fasting? No. In fact, he used to wake up early in the morning and go and pray. See, he must be so tired, no, after traveling. That time they didn't have vehicles also. They used to walk or they used to travel on animals. But still he said, no, I'm going to wake up early morning and I'm going to pray. Daniel, right? So what happened was when Daniel was praying, do we know the story of Daniel? Some of us may know, may not know. Okay, so for those who do not know, for their convenience, what happened when Daniel was praying? He was asking for something very badly. So he was fasting and praying. And on the 21st day, okay, 21st day, the answer to his prayer came. Now, when the angel came to answer his prayer, he said that your answer was there in the first day itself. Your answer had come. But the kings of Persia, it says in the word of God, the kings of Persia, means the enemy was keeping me away from coming and giving you this answer. So that means we need to persevere in prayer because many times the enemy will keep it from coming to you. So that's why we say, now we believe that it is done. We pray, no, when we pray and we say, Lord, we believe it is done. That means the answer is already given. But many times we just have to persevere to see the end result, right? So yeah, so many times the enemy doesn't allow, like how it didn't allow Jesus, it didn't allow Daniel and many more other such men in the Bible. So, in Joel 2:12 it says, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And in Matthew 6:16-18 it says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Right? So, there is power in fasting and there is power in praying. There are n number of ways you can fast and pray. See, some people genuinely have medical issues, so they are not able to fast and pray. But yeah, definitely fasting and praying together, but praying also can happen without fasting. So if you're not able to fast, doesn't matter. You can pray, okay? Dedicate that time where you are eating or something for fasting. praying, all right? So that you know that, okay, yeah, God, I am unable to do it, but I know you will give me the strength to eventually at least, you know, do some kind of fasting. So that it is not that God will not love you anymore, that you're not fasting. He understands. He's a compassionate father. But he also desires to see his children communicate with him. And he sees the urgency, the desperateness, the, you know, how a child longs to talk to his parents. No? They'll wait and they'll wait, mama, mama, da, 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 like that. So he also says, wow, it feels so good when somebody has this urgency to talk to me. So it shows that, you know, you love him. So either you can do one day fasting, you can do half day fasting, okay, you can skip a meal. So I'm telling you different ways you can do that. You can also do 3 days fasting. So it's very biblical, because whenever they wanted to repent or do something, they did a 3 day fasting. Then you can do a 21 day, we call it a Daniel's fast, where he said, no, 21 days he was fasting and praying. So 21 days you can do. Some people are experts at fasting and they do 40 days of fasting. Some people go without water, some people go without food. So there are people who do that, right? So nobody will judge you and say that, oh, you're spiritual, so immature and you're not fasting and praying. Nobody will judge you after this sermon. It's okay. You can take your time. Ask God, Lord, how do you want me to do it? From where do you want me to start? Where do you want me to pray? Okay, I'll tell you why. Okay, so there is a lot of power in the prayer. Have we heard about this missionary called Samuel Morris? Anyone? No? Okay. Now, Samuel Morris was a little boy from Africa. He was actually in African tribes, no? They had rivalry. So, one tribe would attack the other tribe, and as soon as the other tribe attacks and defeats the other tribe, what they do is the king becomes the slave of the one who's become victorious. And the son and all are also taken as the slaves. And they are beaten and bruised. And, you know, they're given all sorts of tasks. Now, Samuel Morris was one of the prince. That means he was the son of one of the kings of a tribe. And what happened was there was an attack in his community, his tribe, by another king, and so happened that he ran away from there because his father was getting defeated, and he knew if he stays there, they are going to mistreat him and brutally use him very left, right. So he was around 10 years or 11 years old when he ran away from that. So he ran and ran and ran to some place, and there he found a community of missionaries. Okay, so he found them, and he couldn't speak the language English. So they kind of communicated to him in his own broken language. And he said that this is the story. Now, eventually what happened, they took him from there. And Samuel Morris eventually went, like, you know, he was groomed and, you know, trained and all that. And he went to a biblical seminary. Okay, so he started learning. Now he said this, so he was so touched by Jesus, so touched by Jesus. He said, wow, it's so much of peace, and you know, there is a different kind of love that I am experiencing. In my tribe, there was always hatred and, you know, murder, and there was so much of animosity with each other. But with Jesus, it is so beautiful. So he started praying. So he used to pray days and days. So eventually what happened was, in his story it is written that he used to pray in his hostel room, and it was so loud na that the neighbors used to get disturbed and they used to knock. So he did not pray like us, or 1 hour or 2 hours. He used to pray like throughout the night and all. So they used to get disturbed, they never used to get sleep. So what they used to do, they knock at the door and say, please, you know, now sufficient, enough of praying. So what he did, he started going to the woods. And he started praying day in and day out. So he made his own prayer haven, where he would just go and sit there for hours together, and he would pray. And he, you know what was his prayer? His prayer was, Lord, make me a missionary to my people, the tribe of that Africa. so that I will share this love and say that there's no need to fight with each other. There's no need. But what happened was, very sadly, on May 12th, 1893, at approximately 20 years of age, Samuel Morris died. So he couldn't go to his country, like Africa, to his tribe. What do you think would have happened? Do you think God really heard his prayer? He prayed, right? And he fasted, right? So what do you think? That's a tragic ending. God didn't answer his prayer. So it doesn't end here. What happened was, and as people saw him and his desire, after his funeral, many of them said they felt led to go to Africa to be missionaries in Samuel's place. So God doesn't end with our prayers. He leads others to do it, right? So many times we may feel, oh, my answer, my prayer, it's just over. It's just gone, done and dusted. No, God did not allow that. Samuel Morris died because of pneumonia at the age of 20. But after that, the reformation that happened in Africa and the number of missionaries that went there to his tribe and transformed this whole tribe is amazing. So if at all you get a chance to read. Now, why am I telling you Samuel Morris' story? Because he used to fast on a Thursday. Okay, for his community. Thursday he used to fast and go on till Saturday. Okay, Saturday evening he would break the fast. So in his fasting he would never drink water or eat food. So that is why many people say, if you ask like the older generation and all, what fasting on Thursday? So they say Samuel Morris is fasting. Means he used to fast on a Thursday. So that's why some people fast on Thursday. So like that, there are people who have fasted, prayed for various reasons, right? Now, that is individual person fasting. Now, we will see as a community, how can we pray and fast? And why should we do it as a community? Many times we have said, no, today, church, let's fast and pray. Today, church, let's pray. Let's gather. Let's come as a community and pray. Why? Because the Bible says that. Matthew 18:19. Can somebody read? Yes. So, when it says, if two or three are gathered in my name, so he again emphasizes community, praying in a community, right? Praying and, you know, coming together. Now, when the church prayed, okay, there were miracles that happened. Can somebody read this also? Sharon only has to read.
It opened for them by itself and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying.
So can we tell the last line to our neighbor? Many people had gathered and were praying. Many people were gathered and were praying for whom? For Peter. Okay, Peter was in prison. Peter didn't even know about it. But when we pray, okay, things happen, things move. Even dead can come alive when we pray. Okay, so prayer in faith and knowing that, Lord, I am asking my Father, I'm asking God as a community. So church, as a body of Christ, when we call out to God, when we call out to Jesus, things change. Now, from this community, from Acts, the early church, to our community, Renewed Hope community, what do you think? How is the church prayer life? Individual, you all told, but what about the church? Does the church have a time of prayer? Yes, we get messages, no, today is prayer, please come, please, join us and all that. So, we do have opportunities to pray as a community. But definitely, we may not have the time or the bandwidth, right? So, many people may not be available during that time. So, what should be our attitude? What do you think? How can I cultivate this culture of community prayer? What do you think as a... So, suppose Thursday, Wednesday, you get a message. Today is prayer day. Today, we will meet in so-and-so place or this is going to happen. So, what do you think? How can we cultivate this habit of prayer on that day as a community? Wherever you are, you can take time out at that particular time and you pray, okay? Have more prayer cells. Means you want it like individual. Okay, local. Very good. That's a good idea. Locality wise, have more prayer cells. Excellent. Anything else?
Connect on call and meditate.
Excellent. Connect on call and pray together. Maybe you can walk and talk and pray together. Okay, good. Zoom.
Connect on different.
Yeah, good ideas. Right, good. So we are saying that we have the desire to pray, but there are certain challenges. That is what I am understanding from each one of us. So we have challenges and we are not able to make it on that particular spot or that particular day. So can we make arrangement for this? Yes. So let's look at that. But yeah, in the meantime, while we are, you know, in the process of planning out such things, what we can do is develop a culture of prayer. That is, whenever we get a message, at least ask, like, you know, is there any prayer point that I can pray for, right? So, initiate, ask, and implement, all right? So, can I pray for? Because we will not know whether you are praying or not. And how will you know what prayer point are we praying for at that particular hour, right? So if it is 8 p.m., if you're meeting or gathering, how will we know? We will not know. So to develop a culture of prayer, we need to initiate, ask, and implement. If you have any prayer request, please send it across. Okay, and saying that today is a day of prayer. Please, can you pray for this thing? And we will circulate it and we'll say, okay, yes, we can pray for this. So pray at all times, definitely. Develop a culture of prayer. And also we initiate, ask, and we implement. And then we don't forget at that. So now, suppose if I'm praying for a job, okay. Suppose if I'm praying for a job, what will I do? I'm praying. And I will tell somebody to pray for me. And then I will expect the other person to ask me, na, did you get a job or not? Correct. So implement means I ask for prayer points. I pray for the prayer point. Then I need to know, right, whether my prayer is answered or not. Did you get any call from that hostel? Did you get any member coming to church? Did we get an opening there? Like, because we are praying for opening. So this this Wednesday when we were praying, we felt, okay, so this is the prayer that you can continue to pray for, okay? So when we were praying this Wednesday, we felt God is asking us to pray for the institutes around us. We have a lot of institutes. We have the Pillays, hostel, colleges. Okay, we have the MGM, engineering and medical college. Then we have Amity. We have so many institutions, right? So we are praying that God will open up the doors and students will come in and we will be able to give them hope. We will be able to bless them in some way or the other, Right? So we know that God will open up doors and we will be able to bless many students, professors and the institute itself. Right? So if ever now you get an opportunity, do pray for the institute. And as you said, locality wise, suppose if you're living very near to that so-and-so college or premises, please pray for that and say, Lord, let's see a miracle here. Let's see if you can open up a door for us here. Yes, so that is what, so how do we do it? Okay, many times we say that how do we do it? When there is nothing, we do it. Okay, when there is, we can't see any sunlight, we still pray, Lord, show us the sunlight. Show us that silver lining on the cloud. And when there is no room, when we have no room, we live in maybe in very studio apartments or when we have all children everywhere, we don't have room. But we still, because we know of a lady called Susanna Wesley, you know, she had 19 children. You know, when one child also is there around, you feel so disturbed. Okay, this. But she had 19 children. So she had an apron which she used to put around when she was cooking. But what she used to do, she used to remove that apron, put it around her head. And as soon as she used to put around her head, her children knew that mom is going to pray. We shall not disturb her. So they used to do their own work. And none of the children dared to disturb her that time. So this is how, when there is no room, you create a room to pray. We know Hannah from the Bible. She was so drowned in prayer that she was seeking God's favor, that people used to see her and they thought she was drunk. Okay, so that means she was so into the prayer. Jesus, who being in the very image of God, did not consider equal, but he too submitted to the Father in fasting for 40 days and praying at all times, right? So Jesus could have easily said, "Arey, Father, no, he's my Father, he'll hear me even if I pray in my heart." No, he made intentional time, right? And he fasted for 40 days. What is the need for him to fast? He will get whatever he will ask God. But he still made that time. So pray at all times. Yes, we can say that we are spiritually healthy when we look at the amount of time that we spend in building our relationship through communicating in spirit to God. And that happens only in prayer. Jesus prayed. Yes, Jesus prayed. And we all need to, you know, follow his examples and footsteps and pray and fast and live a lifestyle that speaks louder, you know, in volumes, that we are spiritually healthy. We are spiritually growing. We are spiritually not stagnant, but we are going to the next level of our faith. Amen. So we will call over Virgil and he will pray for us.